This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hey, brand builders. I hope to see you live and in person at this fall's 6th annual Social Brand Forum. Digital marketing smarts in the heart of the heartland, right here in Iowa City, Iowa. Join past on-brand guests like Jason Falls, Melissa Agnes, Marcus Sheridan, and more. Listeners of the show get the best rate when they use promo code ONBRAND. Learn more and register now at socialbrandforum.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Mac Collier. Recognized by Forbes as one of the top 25 social media marketers in the world, Mac Collier is a social media strategist, trainer, and speaker located in Alabama that specializes in helping companies better connect with its customers via social media and digital channels. His clients include businesses of all sizes, from sole proprietorships to Fortune 100 companies. Some of the companies Mac has worked with include Dell, Adobe, Paperly, Red Lion Hotels, Club Med, and many more. Mac is a highly sought-after speaker on social media and customer engagement topics and is presented at some of the top social media conferences and events, including South by Southwest Interactive, Blog World, and New Media Expo, Content Marketing World, and Social Media Tourism Symposium. Additionally, Mac has spoken and trained on-site with companies such as Delphi, Bizarre Voice, Dell, Utica National Insurance Group, and many more. Additionally, Mac's thoughts and expertise on marketing, brand advocacy, and social media have been sought out by some of the world's most prestigious news sources, including the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, USA Today, CNBC, ESPN, The Washington Post, CNET, and Entrepreneur Magazine. His first business book, Think Like a Rockstar, How to Create Social Media and Marketing Strategies That Turn Customers into Fans, was published in 2013 by McGraw-Hill and is an Amazon bestseller. Mac, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I was just thinking, I've really got to shorten that bio up. It seems like it doesn't take that long to read it, but good grief, that's too long when you're reading it. But I appreciate you doing it. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am happy to have you and happy to read your bio at any length. But you've certainly accomplished a great deal. And I think that is, from the brands that you've worked with to the stages you've been on to the news sources you've appeared in, I think that your reach and impact is amazing. And I will personally never forget one of the first places that I met you was at a Marketing Profs. I think they called it a digital mixer back then, and it was in Chicago. And you convened a blogging roundtable that talked about best practices and really helped me get back into a better blogging habit on my own. So I've always held a very special place in my heart for your work as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I remember that was a good event. I remember Marketing Profs, they did a few of the digital marketing mixers. I wish they still did it. It's so funny because I have so many people that will tell me that we met at a Marketing Profs event, normally the B2B forum.
Yeah.
It's It's so funny. But yeah, that was a great event. I'm glad you were there.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I also think, you know, with your work specifically on blogging and blog chat, I mean, I think that, you know, in the, I would even say, it almost seems like a prototypical phase even before there was, I mean, I know that content marketing has been around forever and has a storied history, but kind of this new incarnation of content marketing, I really feel like was kind of preceded by, you know, this blogging revolution that I think that the work that you were doing and do with blog chat and convening people that are trying to write about their brands in new and exciting ways helped many get and continues to help many get over hurdles that they have in, you know, all of a sudden, all of us marketing people are in the writing business. And that's a bit of a different animal.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. It's interesting because I've been doing this long enough too. I remember back when blogging was the sexy, shiny new object. And it was like, oh my gosh, everybody wanted to blog. What's blogging? And now it's kind of like the forgotten old man, you know. Everyone's still blogging, it seems, but it's kind of like it gets kind of off to the wayside when all these new tools keep popping up. So I think in some ways that's a good thing because it's, I don't think blogging is going anywhere. And I think it's like a good, steady, reliable base, and you can have all these other tools. And I think really if you've got, especially from the brand company side, I think a lot of them are investing in blogging, but it's kind of like, in some ways, I guess it could be like your social media safety net. If you've got the blog, then even if you start using these new tools and let's say in a 6 months or a year, they fall out of favor, well, you've always got the blog to fall back on.
I think that's a great point, and it's increasingly important. It does seem, you mentioned it a few times, talking about all of the, it's the same way I talk about it, of the shiny new things. And sometimes you've got something that's less shiny. Is there advice for brands navigating that shiny new thing problem? Because it's hard to keep track of what's next, what you should be working on. But I also think that something else happens that you alluded to, and it's that, you know, the less new things. I talk about email marketing a lot. And I think that's even a phase behind blogging in terms of people thinking it's less sexy, less shiny. And I think that we have this danger of throwing out these very useful tools with the bathwater.
Yeah, it's all about understanding the behavior of the person you're trying to connect with. When it comes to these new shiny tools, this is what I always say. It's not about understanding the tool. It's about understanding why are people using the tool? What is it about Instagram that makes people want to go there? And if you can understand behavior and you can understand why certain sites attract certain people, if you can think through, okay, what activities are they engaging in? Why are they engaging in those activities? What are they trying to do? That to me is far more important, because if you understand the behavior, then you have a better sense of, okay, now that I understand what this behavior is, I have a better understanding of what's going to be hot tomorrow. Because so many companies, they're just reading these sites and they're looking for, tell me what the hot new site is. Tell me what the hot. I want companies to get to the point where they can recognize what the new hot tool is going to be tomorrow by understanding today's behavior. Because if you can do that, then you have a leg up and you can kind of figure out, okay, this is why everyone is on this site. This is what they're doing in. It's not about the tool. It's about the behaviors that are more important to understand. And that way you're kind of like you're ahead of the game versus constantly being reactive and constantly, because there's always going to be someone else that gets there ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think then it does get us into that wrong mindset. It's kind of that checklist mindset of I've got a presence everywhere, but instead of understanding, you know, what's behind it and what your customers are looking for, you're not going to have an answer on on what works best and when.
Yeah, exactly. And if you understand the behavior, then you can spot the trends, and then you can figure out, okay, how can we change what we're currently doing as far as our own content strategies to try to adapt to what our customers are looking for. And that's I always say it's not about understanding the tools. It's about understanding how and why people are using the tools.
So you said if you can understand the behavior, how do we need to look at things that were not today to better understand the behavior as opposed to, you know, people are doing a lot of silly things on Snapchat?
Well, it may seem silly to us, but they're on there for some reason. Maybe they're on there killing time. Maybe it's the interaction with other people. I mean, there's some core reason why they're there. And a lot of times you say, well, it's just, people are silly wasting time on Facebook. Yeah, but they're doing something on Facebook. They're interacting with other people. They're getting information. And there's some core lessons we need to understand there as far as, yeah, it may look like, okay, I just wasted 15 to 20 minutes during my lunch on Facebook, but why? Why Facebook? What was I doing there that I can't do on Twitter or that I can't do reading blogs, whatever?
Well, and I also think that, you know, if you look at that, and I think we get caught up in kind of the echo chamber story of, you know, Facebook and Instagram are copying Snapchat. The stories feature and with other features. And I think what you're saying too kind of reminds me that beyond who's copying who and you know, whatever the latest take on it is at TechCrunch or wherever else, there's this need that people have to express themselves in a very different way than how they used to on social media early on. So there's something there that we as marketers, that we as brand builders probably need to take a look at and understand better to figure out what it is we can do there.
Yeah, and I think you need to, like, for example, with Facebook, and I've seen a lot of other people do this, I was always, Twitter was my thing. I like spending more time on Twitter, but I just kept hearing everyone, this is, you know, I'm talking years ago, saying you got to be on Facebook, got to be on Facebook. And I think companies are getting bombarded with the same thing, got to be on Facebook. For years, it was like the big three. You got to have a blog, then you got to have a blog, and you got to be on Twitter, and you got to be on Facebook. And a lot of time, I would just push myself, I need to spend more time on Facebook, even though I didn't really like it as much as Twitter, for example, but everybody was saying you got to be on Facebook. And I noticed this because this is like the third, let's see, 2008, 2012. I've been like through three election cycles with Facebook now. And each time it's like every 4 years, it's just the experience on Facebook went from being, it's kind of meh. And then the election comes and it's just completely unbearable.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I think this last one kind of like beat it out of me. I'm like, I can't stand Facebook anymore. So I'm still there and I'll go in like maybe 2 to 3 times a week just to check and make sure there's nothing I'm missing or somebody isn't trying. I think most of my main contacts know by now if they want to reach me, they need to text me or email or try something besides Facebook because I'm not going to be there as much. And I think that's an interesting point because this goes back to understanding behavior because we kind of saw the same thing with Twitter. I mean, because for years, Twitter was just like this little insular thing that we had our little social media and marketing people. And we were using Twitter and we were like, when is the outside world going to catch on that Twitter's really big and really hot? And then suddenly Ashton Kutcher got on Twitter and Oprah got on Twitter. And I'm seeing billboards, Ashton Kutcher's follow me on Twitter with Lamar advertising. And then just like, overnight, everyone jumped on Twitter, and it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for, because when the celebrities got on Twitter, that drove everyone to Twitter, and the experience changed, and that's something that these companies need, because the experience, it's all about the user experience, and that's going to be kind of constantly morphing and changing, so just because something is the hot tool of the moment today, 6 months from now, they may decide to go public and that may have ramifications. The user experience changes and suddenly the audience can change.
Well, that's such a good point. And I think what you said in there too about that, that kind of prescription that I feel like a lot of us use, a lot of us recommend, and with reason of, you know, you've got a blog and you've got a presence on Facebook and Twitter. And I think, like you said, you know, the networks change, how they're used changes. It sounds trite, but it's not something that you can set and forget. And I don't know, you know, for the longest time, what I heard about Twitter was, I don't get it. I don't know what we're doing there. And I'd say today, my answer to a lot of businesses is, I don't know that everyone has to be everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that that's one of the bigger mistakes that businesses make is, and again, it goes back to, well, I hear everybody say you have to be on all these. They overextend themselves, especially with small businesses, because they have less resources and a smaller team. It's oftentimes just like the owner trying to do it themselves, more or less. But I've always advised clients that when it comes to social media, it's far better for you to start out using fewer tools and then as you can grow later versus trying to just do everything all at once. You're going to stretch yourself too thin, because these tools, I mean, if you're going to use them properly and you're going to, it takes time to cultivate relationships and to cultivate the engagement and all of the things that are going to be necessary to help you actually see results from a strategy. So it takes a lot of time. If you're trying to do five things at once, going from zero to five tools, it's kind of a recipe for disaster in most cases. So my advice has always been start small and grow big versus trying to start too big and then you end up losing it all.
You know, I think that also kind of pivots back to branding, because I think when you do small, it is smart to be small. But if you start small,
it's kind of a tongue tied.
It is. But if you start small, you can also focus on what it is you're doing there instead of just having kind of another Me Too presence on this social network, instead of thinking about what it is that is unique about what your brand offers on Facebook versus others, versus what you're doing on Twitter versus the content you're sharing and everything else. So I think that start small helps you also stand out a little bit too in ways that you might not realize until you take the plunge.
Yeah. And it's all a learning experience too. And that's another reason why I think it makes more sense to start small, because you're going to be learning, and an integral part of learning is making a lot of mistakes. So if you're going to be making a lot of mistakes, I'd rather do it small, smaller audience where fewer people are laughing at me. So just let me learn and figure this stuff out. Then I can get to a point where I've got it licked more or less. I mean, hell, I've been blogging for 12 years now, and I learn something new every single day. So you're constantly learning and you're constantly looking for how can I improve what I'm doing. And a great side benefit of all of that is as you improve and get more effective and more efficient, then that kind of frees up more bandwidth. Maybe you can do more things later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's very good advice, but not one that that a lot of people take in kind of the rush to do everything that everybody else is doing. And I think that it's an odd bit of pressure too, because I don't know if it's because social channels are more reported on, covered in the news, but it seems like, you know, I talk with a lot of marketers too, who are saying, I'm hearing a lot about Snapchat, but I don't get it. What should I do?
Yeah.
And I don't know that answer has to be anything. It might be something if that's where your people are, but I think that there is kind of this, I guess you could call it peer pressure that we feel to be everywhere and do everything.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I'm proud of. I think I finally got over that peer pressure. I mean, like I said, I've been doing this for years, and it seemed like from 2008 to 2010 or 11, there was like this just land grab, this mad rush to social media. I think when people saw Twitter and Facebook starting to take off and just everyone started investing in these new social tools. And it just seemed like for a year or so, it seemed like every 2 to 3 weeks or months, there was like this hot new tool. Everyone is there. And like for a weekend, it would blow up. Friend feed, Ello, Jelly, it doesn't matter. I mean, there was suddenly everybody is there and we were all there for a weekend. And everybody for that weekend talks about it was going to be the new Twitter killer, Facebook killer. And a week later, it's dead. And I think I just went through that a few times. And I was finally like, you know what? This is no. And the next time it happened, I'm like, no, this is going to be the next Ello. This is going to be the next. I've seen this episode before, and sure enough, and it's like you said, there's this peer pressure involved. There'll be one Robert Scoble or somebody will say that this is the hot new thing, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, I can't miss out on the hot new thing. I'm going to go there, and they go there, and it's just like it's almost. It's almost like the digital version of just following the herd over the side of the cliff or something. It's just like I know, but what happens if it is the big thing and I'm not there and I don't have my presence at the ground floor and I'm missing out? And
we struggle
with it too. Everyone does. So
well, it does, and I do think that's interesting to kind of, you know, plot that on a timeline, because then I also think where we're at today. You know, even with the latest infinite dial data from Edison Research shows that instead of all of these new things, that we're spending more time around, you know, the big three of Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and that it's coming at the expense of the other networks.
Yeah, I think that's true. And kind of to piggyback off what I was just saying, I think kind of like, and I'm sure some other people that have the same idea, but if the next Snapchat or Instagram does actually come along now, I'm probably going to be one of the laggards because people are going to be out there with the parading, here it comes, here, and I'm going to be like, I've already heard this, I'm not listening to you. So if it actually does hit this time, I'm going to probably be late to the party because I'm just going to assume it's another boy who cried wolf and I'll just ignore it.
That is a valid strategy.
Well, I'm sorry, but yeah, back to what you were saying about the research. I think, too, I mean, we've only got so much bandwidth. We can only pay attention to so many tools. And that's why I just think we're increasingly looking for what can we get the most value for us. Well, and I think that's why things like podcasting, which, I mean, 10 years ago, podcast had like this boom and suddenly everybody was all excited about podcast and then they just died. I don't know if it was like the technological constraints at the time. There wasn't an iPod. There wasn't the ability to easily listen in the car, what have you. But now they're hot again and have been. So I think that people are increasingly looking for how can they make better use of their time. And I think they're also, it's back to the whole trial and error. They're getting smarter about trying out these new sites and getting a better and a quicker grasp on what actually creates value for me and versus what's just a waste of my time that I need to avoid.
I love that from the time perspective, because it's, you know, your time as a marketer, but it's also your audience time and where they're spending their time and how they're spending their time.
Exactly.
So you do a lot of talking about brand ambassadors and brand advocacy. You know, those are aspirational things for so many, but they can be hard to implement, hard to set into motion. What do people need to do more of if they want their customers to be more vocal brand advocates?
Well, I think a lot of it just comes down to being open and communicating with them, listening for them, because every company has brand advocates. They have fans that are out there that are telling other people about them. So it's funny because I always hear companies say, well, I don't know if we have any advocates or I don't know if we have any passionate customers. How do we find them? And the truth is they'll find you. If they're really passionate about your brand, one of the things that comes with being passionate about a brand is you want to see it succeed and you want to see other people know how awesome your favorite brand is. So that means you're going out and you're talking and you're telling other people and you're also probably reaching out to the brand directly. Hey, I love you guys. How can I help? And that's one of the great things about your brand advocates is that they are advocating on your behalf. And it's not something where you need to sell them on why they should be helping you. They're proactively doing that. They're looking for you to help them do it better, but they're already out there doing it. So a lot of it simply comes back to just listening, being open, already looking at what's happening online. And when you see, for the love of Pete, when you see someone say something positive about your brand online, thank them. Just say, thank you. We appreciate that. You would not believe that's just so incredibly easy. It's such low hanging fruit. And it's such a great way to validate to that advocate why they are advocating for your brand. Because people that love a particular brand, it's almost like they can view the brand as almost like a pseudo celebrity. I mean, if your favorite celebrity or if your favorite rock star tweeted out to you, thank you, I appreciate that, it would make most people go crazy. And brand advocates typically have a very similar reaction. They love their favorite brands. So if that brand will reach out to them and just acknowledge that they appreciate their loyalty, that just means the world to them.
There's a pretty clear through line in your answer there that merits repeating, that I think that sometimes we get caught up in how do we make these advocates? You know, we're starting from scratch. You know, how do you create advocates? And everything that you were just talking about was focusing on listening first and finding those that are already out there, because I think we're starting in the wrong place.
Yeah, and we overcomplicate so much, especially when it comes to social media, digital marketing. So much of it is just being, it's human nature. I mean, when someone does you a favor, when someone pays you a compliment, you say thank you. I mean, you don't need to know how to use Twitter to know that you need to do that. I mean, that's just, it's hopefully common sense. And it's just, it's the same thing. I mean, when you see a customer that is telling, when you see Mac tweeting to Nick that, oh, I love Honda, I love my Honda vehicle, I mean, how smart does Honda need to be to just chime in, thanks, Mac, we appreciate your business? That's all it takes, just 2 seconds.
Well, and these are the easy things, too. So,
yeah, that's what I mean. It is. It's incredibly easy, but companies make it hard by not doing things like this. And yeah, the worst case scenario is I may start tweeting Honda, or I may start tweeting to other people that I like Honda vehicles. And then one day I think to myself, you know what? I've been promoting Honda vehicles on Twitter for a year now, and I've never once had Honda just reach out to me and say, thank you. Because so many companies just assume, well, if we've got an advocate that's promoting us, we just need to leave them alone and let them do it. That's what we want to see happen. But if you just don't interact and don't kind of keep those relationships maintained, they can die a little bit too.
So this provides us a good segue as we start to wrap up here, because I'm guessing that the brand that's made you smile recently is maybe not Honda.
No, it's not, because it's funny, because I was thinking, while I was giving you that example, I was trying to think, and I've never technically owned a Honda. I've owned a...
Was that just an example that you stuck with impressively throughout 5 minutes of conversation? I assume there was a great big Honda story there.
No, it was, well, actually, I've owned a... about as close as I've gotten to a Honda as an Acura, which is sort of kind of the same thing. But I don't know. I think of an example of a brand that's made me smile. It's probably not for the reason you're probably thinking, more like something they've done with advertising or digital, but this is just really just back to basics. The small town I live in, we've for years had this huge Walmart Supercenter. And I can't stand going there. It's nothing against, I just can't stand going there. So you have to walk a country mile, as we say in rural Alabama, to get anything. The buggies are just, the wheels are knobbed up. The employees, they look like they don't like working there, honestly. A lot of them do. There's some very friendly ones, but a lot of them, they just look like they don't like being there much more than I do. But it's like that was pretty much your only option for grocery shopping in the area. And then a year or so ago, we had a Publix open. And it's just striking when you leave Walmart and you go into the new Publix, it's just completely different customer experience. The store isn't huge. Everyone that works there looks like they're happy to be working there. They greet you with a smile. They go out of their way to help you. They notice you when you come back. They notice repeat customers. They will take the groceries to your car. It's just a completely that you enjoy shopping there versus the other experience with Walmart. And so Publix, it's like I said, that's kind of an old school example, but it's just nailing the basics of just giving the customer good service and appreciate them being there.
Well, there's something to be said for nailing the basics. I think that to your earlier point, I think there's a lot of ways to that a brand can make you smile. And I think that back to your point of us overcomplicating things, if you cover some of those basics, you have more done than not. So I think we could learn a thing or two from that.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think that we're just looking a lot of times for the unicorn, and we're just trying to make it's like we're scared to death of not being on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the cutting edge is just this razor thin line that a lot of people fall off of because they're chasing each other.
Amen. Well, we have to get better. And as you've mentioned a couple of times, we can't go flying off the ledge with everybody else.
There you go.
Mac, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Probably the best place would be my website, maccollier.com, maccollier.com. And if you want some advice, tips, or tricks on becoming a better blogger, better social media in general, check out Blog Chat on Twitter every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central. Been doing it now since March of 2009.
Wow. So that is one of the oldest and one of, it has to be one of the larger Twitter chats out there. So as a participant, I can't endorse it enough. So we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Mac, thanks for joining us on Brand.
Nick, thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. This past week, Melanie Diesel gave us a shout on Twitter, pointing to her previous episode here. We'll link up to that as well. Thanks, Melanie, for listening. And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can find links to everything that we talked about at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. And if you have a few extra seconds, drop in that 5-star review as well. Always helps. Remember, On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Order now at Amazon and check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.